Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And you know, a long service, so my remarks are maybe a little shorter today because it's time to party. You know, we got a great party. We got bananagrams. We got so much fun things going on. Susie beats me 9 out of 10 times. I can't beat her. I'm pretty good, but she studies tiny words, you know, and she's just good at that. Well, I would like to talk with you about the ultimate resolution of the things that we've been reading about today. And what I'm talking about is after a time of antagonism and misunderstanding, people coming together and loving each other, maybe for the first time ever or for the first time in many years. Of course, we know that this week, kind of a strange thing, Debbie Reynolds, you know about this? Debbie Reynolds passed away. And shortly before that, her daughter, who played Princess Leia in Star Wars, right? Carrie Fisher passed away. And if you know anything about their relationship, it was tough. There was a lot of misunderstanding. Carrie Fisher felt that her mother was so into her career that she wasn't there for her, et cetera, et cetera. But later on in life, these two connected deeply and love. There was love again after a lot of difficulty. You know, speaking personally, I count myself about the most blessed guy in America. I really do. And I'll tell you why. Because our family, and you know, no guarantees. No one is beyond the realities of the human condition. We understand that. But I'll tell you, last night we got together and we celebrated Hanukkah and the presents and we celebrated Dave's birthday. And it's amazing that the whole gang, we just get along great. And the week before that, we were at Julie's house on Christmas Eve. And Bill's whole family was there, and our whole family is a big gang, and everyone just really, really gets along so well. And I think that more than anything else and more than any other blessing in life is the fact that we just get along really well. And I think that in the economy of God and the way He wants things to work out, this is what He wants. And so that's why in our Torah portion, we see how He is trying to bring about something very important in terms of the reconciliation of Joseph and his brothers. And the point we were reading today, and I'm not going to take the time because it's been a long service, I won't go through it. Read it yourself this afternoon if you haven't read it already. But the story is that, again, Joseph's brothers come to get grain, and they don't recognize that the guy standing at the door is the brother they had betrayed and sold into slavery so many years before. And Joseph then brings them slowly but inevitably to a point of repentance. And of course, all of it culminates in Parashat Vayigash next week. We'll read about that and you'll see what I mean. It is the ultimate outcome where we see after all this antagonism, there is love. And it's just one of the most magnificent parashot in the entire Torah, and I really hope you'll be here to hear about that. Although Rabbi Nathan's speaking, I'm sure he'll make reference to it. So anyhow, that's going to be next week. But you have this coming together of brothers, coming together of brothers. I'll tell you a story again from our family. So I have three younger siblings. The next younger than me is Sister Janet, diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic. She's been in something of an institution, a benign kind of institution for many years. And she's a great lady, and we love her. But, you know, you wish your sister could have had the kind of fullness of life that we all would love, but it wasn't to be. But she is in a relatively good place. I'm very happy about that. And then there was my brother Steve. And Steve is a musician and works at a law firm. But then my brother Jerry. So my brother Jerry and I are 7 years apart. And really, when you grow up 7 years apart, you grow up in two different families, in a sense. You know what I mean? You really have very, very different lives. I was in college when he was still a kid. We barely communicated and all. But a tragic circumstance brought us together again. And that was the night, and I remember it vividly, when my mother, who had been sick, and I should say that my mother was physically, apart from her illness, an incredible lady. She would work out as a 70-year-old woman. She would do these workout classes and take like 3 or 4 or 5 in a row. And all the young girls in their 20s are, bring on the next class. That was my mom, you know. And she was fabulous with kids, and she was an antique dealer and a great Afro-Cuban dancer also, you know. As irreligious as can be, unfortunately, that's another whole story, but a very admirable lady. And I remember the night when the whole family gathered to hear the verdict of what the doctor had said, and it was cancer, it was advanced, it was pancreatic, you know. The family was not totally unsurprised by this point because she had been sick for a while, but it was a real shock. And so my brother Jerry and I went back to his apartment, and in the context of that pain, and we had not been that close before, but it was just the two of us, and in all of that, he said to me, "Rich, I have something I've never told you, but I've got to tell you." And he said, "I'm gay." He said, "I'm gay." And he expected me, because his view of my religion, you know, this kind of stereotypic view, oh, Rich is the fundamentalist, the rigorist, the martinet, you know, play by the rules, and you know, the Bible says it, and that says it, the Bible says it, and that's it for me, and, you know, all the kind of true things, but which are simplistic to the point of allowing no nuance and all. That kind of stereotypic view was in his mind, and he was very, very concerned about my reaction. Because I'll tell you, my own conviction in the matter is that I don't think that homosexuality as a practice is something which is to be condoned in of itself. It's contrary to Jewish and Christian tradition, and something that is not something that we would feel is the same as heterosexual marriage. That's my own view, and it's, I think, generally held throughout the Messianic Jewish world. But the main thing I want to tell you is that when he told me that, you know what I did? I grabbed him and gave him a giant hug. Why? Because I wanted him to know that he's my bro. He is my brother. And he had to screw up his courage and share something that was very difficult for me, and I was not going to react any other way than to embrace him and love him at that moment of his great vulnerability. It didn't mean that I necessarily felt that the practice in of itself, but, you know, quite frankly, in the Bible, there are sins which are mentioned far more often, like how we use our words, mean-spiritedness, lack of generosity, even gluttony is mentioned far more than this particular sexual issue. And so sometimes, you know, people elevate it to like this quintessential lofty level, but for me, at that moment, when I was with Jerry, I just wanted to give him a giant hug, and we just then became so tight. And I want to tell you this, I'll put it as a question. How many brothers do you know that talk every weekday at 8:15 in the morning? Do you know any? Jerry and I do. Every day, most every day. Now, it's not without exception if you're on a plane or something, you know, but most every day. And he's a businessman, and he's successful, and I advise him. And he loves the rest of the family, and he's always included. And his partner's included among us, Jose, because there's a hierarchy of values and that are kind of implicit in our family, and I think largely here as well at Ruach, and that is that human values, what we call human values of kindness, goodness, acceptance, recognizing the complexity of the human condition, and being able to accommodate that for people who are fighting as best they can against the odds that the situation that they've been given to. And it doesn't mean that we're blind to certain things. It just means that in that hierarchy of human values, the kind of thing that God brought about in Vayigash between Joseph and his brothers is something that we value very, very highly. So Jerry and I, we're just tight. And there are certain things we don't talk about. You know, he's not going to get into details of his intimacy, his intimate life with me. I don't want to hear him. And conversely, there are certain things in terms of our own beliefs. He's not a believer in Yeshua yet, but we pray together all the time. How about that one? Now, if you knew how secular my family was, you'd go, wow, that is a miracle. We nickels growing up, very, very secular. Really, really. We bar mitzvah in Orthodox shul, but very, very secular. So the point I'm making is that this value of God bringing things together. Now, about our Besorah passage. Our Besorah passage, and I hope you'll read it, it's It's a wonderful interchange. It's a real interchange. It has all the marks of not Midrash or some kind of, you know, something that people invented. It has the feel of someone who's there, Yochanan, who's reporting about the kinds of things that were actually said. I won't take the time to get into it. But it is a picture of antagonism between brothers. And it's very interesting that it's the Yehudim, the Jewish leaders, that are opposing Yeshua. And that takes us right back to the story of Joseph, where Yehuda is the one who started out as not such a great guy in the story of Joseph. You recall David's comments last week about that. But then he is the one who approaches, Vayagash, he approaches Joseph and says, look, we have nothing to offer, but we're in a big jam. All right, we'll save it for another time. But the point I'm making is that that connection, I think, is kind of cool. That it's the Yehudim, it's the descendants of Joseph, if you will, in an antagonistic relationship with Yeshua. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. God is going to restore the relationship of our people and the Messiah, Yeshua. You believe that this morning? Isn't that exciting? He is going to restore. In fact, there is tremendous significance to that reality, because we believe that one of the key things that have to happen at as kind of precursors or concomitants to his return is Yeshua and our people being reunited. And so we yearn for the day when our people take a second look at Yeshua for the first time. We learn for that day, because that is so much of what we're all about, and what a wonderful thing to be about. Other congregations, other movements have their own agendas, their own purposes, their own God-given callings. This is ours. We want to help unite our people. And I'm reminded of in the Siddur, in the Birkat HaShachar, in the beginning of the Siddur, it talks about, you know, the highest virtues, making sure that a bride has enough money for her dress and for her wedding, accompanying the dead so as to honor those who have lost someone they love. You know, these are the kind of things mentioned. Commitment to prayer. And the second to last one, not in order of importance, but just the second to last one, is Hayavin Shalom Le'Adam V'Chaver. It's a high value to bring peace between a man and his brother, a daughter and her mother, two sisters. This is so important to God. And so, as we celebrate Hanukkah, as we celebrate the gifts that God has given us, let's celebrate with more passion this year the good relationships that God has given us, and build on those, and don't let them slip away, whether it's your family or in the congregation here. Do not let them slip away, whether it's a friend you need to call who you haven't spoken to in a long time. Treasure those relationships, because God is the God of relationship, and He is going to bring this world back to good relationships. So you won't have to worry anymore about all of these bad headlines. He is the God of relationship. Work toward relationship. Do what's necessary. Recognize that this is so precious in His sight that even if you have to subsume some of your own moral sensibilities a bit, so what? It doesn't mean that you're inconsistent. It means that you're just elevating relationship and putting those things at a very high level. I've spoken my heart to you today. Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom.